Great for Valentine's Day. Look at the turnout.
Yep.
I left my pin in my suffer.
Good evening. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for February 14th, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Janet?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Buckeye.
Here.
Director Gall.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director
Mann. Here.
Please join me for the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Request from Larry Bross to go first because he's got an appointment and needs to leave early. So, Larry, if you want to.
I'm Larry Bross. I live down in Oceano for the past 20 years. I reside here. I've owned property for over 40. Thank you for letting me speak to you this. I want to speak about Cacho's town hall meeting and thank everybody who spoke and everybody who saw it. Some of the comments there. First of all, I'm happy that I did appeal it just so that could take place. And some of the comments that were made actually made some of my position seem rather not narrow. I mean, there were comments on global warming. There were things that were just very interesting. Let me just remind you that what you decided on the meeting of January 10th, the board endorsed the sale of the property subject to the state collecting $1 per vehicle entering the state vehicular recreation area, the proceeds of which are to be deposited with the Oceano Community Service District to mitigate the impact to the community caused by the activities associated with the state vehicular recreation area. Let me tell you this, that I thought that it was very clear to anybody, if anybody watched that on Channel 21, that you had to realize that Oceano is the victim here. Okay, that was understood, that Grover, that Pismo get it all, and we get the problems. And I think people understood that. So I think for the first time, we've got a real opportunity here. I've been waiting 25 years for this to happen. I think we have a chance to get an additional entrance to the beach, an entrance on the other side of the creek. I think we have a chance to get a vehicle-free beach just for the community of Oceano. And I'm not against the OHV. They all know I want day use. I want just what Grover has. You come down Pier Avenue, you can turn north and go toward the Grover entrance, but you cannot hurt people. You cannot come south. You can't come south. There'll be another way to know that. And I want to say to the people, this is the duly elected board. Let's all pull together, and maybe this community can come out a winner. It's about time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment?
Good evening, Mr. President, Vice President, and board members. My name is Dennis Delzite. I'm the Public Works Director and City Engineer for Pismo Beach. Mitch Cooney and I serve on various water committees, the State Water Subcontractors Committee, the Lopez Committee, and the Gentleman's Agreement Groundwater Committee. I found Mitch to be extremely conscientious and a very strong advocate for the Oceano Community Services District, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment?
Good evening, President Hill, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident. How many of you ever heard of the Bicycle Advisory Committee? I've never heard of it until just yesterterday. I attended one of their meetings downtown San Luis Obispo County Government Center, Monterey Street, third floor. There were approximately 20 people in attendance, staff members, county public works, planning, staff from Caltrans, also from SLOCOG, the San Luis Council of Governments. A very well put together team, and their purpose is to provide and advise for bike lanes all throughout the county. And it so happens that for the past 3 years, 22nd Street and also parts of Paso Robles Street have been designated to receive a bicycle lane. And this comes by way of a grant application that's been in the work, as I said, for 3 years now with a state fund that has an annual budget of $8 million. Now, that grant application has not come through yet, or else we would have found out about it. So as I sat there in public comment, I had, first of all, raised some pretty obvious, at least to me, some concerns. Number one, parking down 22nd Street, and also our problems with drainage and flooding. And they were gracious enough to put these items on as an agenda item for the next meeting in May. And with that, I would like to just to make this known to us here in Oceano to get involved and to possibly form input. So let's get busy and get after it. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Barbara?
Good evening, President Hill, members of the board. I'm Barbara Carey, Oceano Community Center. The Oceano Family Resources Center, formerly known as Healthy Start, has been serving Oceano families for over a decade. The center is a partnership between EOC and, once again, the CMR Unified School District. In this instance, District Nurse Linda Hogeboom is the visionary and unsung hero. Last week, there was actually an article in the Trib in which she was interviewed around the issue of pediatric dental services in the district. Linda has been instrumental in seeing that Oceano kids receive much-needed dental care. She's committed to the concept that just as kids don't do well in school when they're hungry, neither do they do well when they're ill or have toothaches. The goal of the center is to focus on family strengths and work with families to keep children safe, healthy, at home, in school, and out of trouble. Among the services that the center provides are individual group, family counseling, parenting classes, support groups, community resource connections, and basic needs referrals. Other services such as food and clothing and child care also help families and children. For a long time, the center has had family advocates who were bilingual, but now for the first time, they also have bilingual family therapists. To receive counseling services, a family must have a child enrolled in one of the four elementary schools in the district. I started highlighting positive things that are happening in Oceano to provide a sense of balance. A number of people who've seen these meetings on local public access television have called to tell me that, in their opinions, the meetings are very negative, waste a lot of time on trivial and petty matters, and overall make Oceano look bad. I'm concerned that other people are also getting a biased view of what Oceano is all about and just don't know who to call. One of your board members during a televised proceeding equated Oceano with a third world. What kind of a message does that send? Oceano deserves far better than an elected official who speaks so disparagingly of the community. It's bad enough that this is shown on TV in Slo County. It also made a website. And that website is very popular. It's seen by access by people all over the state. Fortunately, the response to the website has been, who is this person? And does this person, has this person...
We're going to do item four.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Vern. I skipped item four. We'll do item four, which is board member items for discussion. Vern, would you like to start?
The only thing I have is I was just noticing in our agenda, item number 11A, there's that the general manager's contract is up again, and that sometimes requires us to go into closed session, and so I would request that that item be moved from 11A up to section up to an for 8 and be the first item under 8, or just or between 7 and 8, somewhere in there. Move it. I guess the best thing is to move it in after 7B, before 8A.
I've had some comment from council on that. If you could perhaps
there was some discussion between President Hill and I over the last couple days regarding this matter. It is true that normally this kind of matter would be scheduled for closed session. For reasons that may or may not be relevant here, it was not agendized for closed session tonight, and I don't think the board has authority at this late date after the agenda has been published to move it to a closed session item. If you really did want to take it up as a closed session item, your only choice would be to continue it to a future meeting, whether that be a special meeting or a regular meeting, and do it in closed session at that time.
Well, I also think that there's a lot of people here that would like to speak to this issue. And so in order to accommodate the public, I think that would be pertinent to us. I know we've always been concerned about the public having a chance to speak. And I think that would be a good idea if we moved it up to that point.
Well, anyway. The presiding officer does have authority to move items around on the agenda, to change the order, to facilitate some scheduling demand or something like that. But moving to closed session would be a problem.
Okay. Well, I'm not asking it to be put in closed session. I'm asking it to be moved on the agenda. And it's a request I'm making in order.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question.
Okay.
Perhaps I misunderstood the question, too, Vern. Where would you propose to move it?
In between 7B and 8A.
I'll take it under advisement. Barbara, your comment?
That was my comment or question was, did you decide?
Not yet. Pamela, comment?
Yes, I'd like to speak about our water bills that went out, and there's a special message on the water bills to participate in a needs assessment for street lighting within Oceano. Please contact Vieri at the office here, 481-6730. I want to draw everyone's attention to what this is about. It's about if you want a street light in your neighborhood, please call the office and let them know that you'd like a street light. Those people on 22nd Street that said they wanted a street light, the people on Paso Robles that wanted a street light, even if your street light is flickering and has a problem, South Elm and Paso Robles, please give us a call. We want to hear from you. It may not have been very very easy to see on your water bill, but that's what it's about. So if you would like a street light in your neighborhood, please let the office know. We're trying to find out where people feel it's too dark, too dangerous, and they'd like a street light. Thank you.
Well, it's Valentine's Day, and I just hope everyone out here realizes it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. That does bring us to item 5, review and approval of the minutes. We have the January 10th minutes for information only to review the correction, and then the January 24th minutes. Comment or questions on the minutes?
I already spoke to Mitch about a correction on page 2, the bottom line. That last sentence should read January 10th, 2007. This was to give the fire chief time to redo the policies and procedures. And that was the January 10th meeting. So I didn't want to take away 30 days from his efforts.
Point of order, Mr. President. Are we going to have public comment on item number four?
We can indeed.
Private closed session. Now, I'm just wondering how all of a sudden it is switched in this agenda to be open. Okay, it was the consensus of this board for it to be closed. The general manager does and compiles this agenda, and now all of a sudden it is open. It seems to me, sir, that someone is ignoring the consensus of this board. This should be a closed session item, and that's what this board has determined. And I think it should stand on that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
I have a question. Doesn't the chair, the president of the board, approve the agenda?
Yes, in concert with the general manager.
Yeah.
Any further comment on that or the minutes? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Correction noted. Look for a motion.
I move to approve the January 24th, 2007 minutes with the correction.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Brings us to item number six, presentations. And is Dave here?
Yeah, he's here. He's here.
Okay. The first one is a presentation of a resolution of appreciation to David Angelo for his service as a member of the Board of Directors of the community of Oceano and Halcyon. Dave, would you come up?
Our resolution number 2006-26, the resolution commending David C. Angelo for distinguished service to the community of Oceana and Halcyon. Whereas Dave Angelo served the citizens of Oceana and Halcyon as an elected member of the Board of Directors from 1988 to 1992 and again from 1994 to 2006. Whereas during his time in office, in addition to other things, Dave Angelo, working diligently for the betterment of Oceana and Halcyon by taking a lead role in bringing state water to the community through his leadership in bringing the Sheriff's Department to Bethesda to promote openness and local government, and has been instrumental in bringing harmony and fiscal stability to the board. Now, therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District that Dave Angelo is hereby thanked and commended for his faithful, honorable, and dedicated efforts on behalf of the citizens of Oceano and Halcyon. Be it further resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors of the OCSD that Dave Angelo has wished a rewarding retirement from his duties as a member of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors. Dave, thank you very much for your speech. The second is a presentation by the Board of Directors acknowledging contributions made by firefighters. That would be our Firefighter of the Year for 2006, Brian Fukuhara, our Rookie of the Year, Andrew Begg, and our recipient of the Chief's Dedication Award, Paul Collada. If you gentlemen would come up. This one is a resolution number 2007-2, a resolution of congratulations to Brian Fukuhara for his selection as OCSD Firefighter of the Year. Brian? This is our resolution number 2705, a resolution of congratulations to Paul Collada for his selection as a recipient of the Chief's Dedication Award. Paul? And our resolution number 2073, a resolution of congratulations to Andrew Bigg for his selection as Rookie of the Year. Andrew?
Okay, that brings us to item number 7, reports. First is Commander Basti from the Sheriff's South Station.
Thank you, President Hill. Good evening, members of the board, staff, and public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. First of all, my congratulations to your fire service folks for the outstanding job they continually do and for the recipients this year, and also to Dave for his service to the community as well. So we offer our congratulations. A couple of things. First of all, in conjunction with the voter passed resolution limiting where sex offenders can live, it passed its first challenge, which was, is it retroactive to all those existing, or is it everybody forward from the time that the proposition? The court has ruled that it's everybody forward from the proposition. So last year we applied for and received a grant between Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis County as a task force to bring all the sex registrants into compliance 100%. We currently are at 98% compliance. There's some of the other cities and counties that aren't up that high. What this is going to do, this grant that was just approved and will go into effect, will make sure that there's 100% compliance with all those registrants and make sure that they're properly registered, they're not violating the law, and they don't continue to offend. So that's a positive step for the community. In addition, the board supervisors approved our recipient of the grant for methamphetamine program, which will add 3 deputy sheriffs to specifically address and enforce those issues related to and associated with the use of methamphetamine, which is becoming significant because most of the thefts, the credit card issues, the crimes that occur are because of the methamphetamine addiction. So, and lastly, I would like to explain to the board that we got some feedback that the board was not getting the information from the Sheriff's Department that was necessarily needed or that things were omitted. Our purpose for being here is to work as a cooperative effort with the board and the community. Day to day, I'm in contact with your general manager and directors and citizens because we handle things on a committee level, and we come to the board at the end of the month, which lost $100,000. It's a big significant difference. So we don't usually do numbers because it goes up and down. We want to give you the highlights and the safety issues and give you some crime prevention things. If there's something else the board needs, certainly let us know because we can tailor to whatever you need to make sure the community knows what we're doing and that we're accessible and that we're resolving the problems as a community and a board. So with that, if there's something more that you would like or something less, please let me know. I want to make sure that you guys get what you need, the community gets what they need, but the information comes back that you're not getting it or that we tell you that there isn't crime. There is crime, but we give you the highlights because we don't have time to go through. We also offer that we have the log that is a public information log. If you want to come and see what's happening on your street or if there's, you know, criminal activity, gives you all the list of the arrests, et cetera, that is a public log of time and incident and gives you the end result. So that is available for public review if you need to in between. So with that, I'll entertain any questions or comments as to what the board really needs or the committee really needs as far as information.
Comments from the board?
You know, I've always been very happy with your reports, what you've come down there from. So this is news to me that there's been any question as far as needing additional information. One question I did have, that log, is that available on the internet?
No, not yet. We are considering, because with the new website, and of course the county went to a general website where you can reach all the departments. It's a brand new reconfiguration. And our website, they're working on so that we can, very much like the Highway Patrol right now, you can go on, you can see active accidents and road closures. They put that on, and you can actually go anywhere in the state and find out the time that's estimated. We're considering doing that with the log, where you can go to the website and you can review that public information.
Yeah.
But it's not on there yet. It's in printed form. It's still the old paper.
Right.
And we get it. It has to go after midnight. So it gets produced at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it takes in the previous day. So if you have something that occurs between midnight and 5, it won't show up until the following day. It's just because of the timing. Then it searches through the files, then automatically prints out our brief log. And we have it broken down to Oceano. We have it broken down to outlying areas, and then our Beat 7, which is Napomo. So you or give amounts, or there's certain things you hold back because you don't want people to know, to think that that's an easy mark or whatever. So
yeah.
We're real careful about the information we give, and if it's an active investigation, we're not going to give you the information until it's completely done. So it's not that we're holding it back. We're protecting our interest to make sure we have good prosecution. But when the feedback came back to me, it's concerned because we're trying to be open and honest and resolve those issues with you as the board, and you're welcome anytime 24/7. We're always over there. We need to deal with them today, or if we deal with something tomorrow, I'm not going to tell you about it for a month. It's going to be old news, but it may be resolved, or it may be an issue that's continuing, and I'm going to give it to you in the short report. So, and that's what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, we're not holding anything back. We have all those stats that are available to the public. We just don't go down and tell you, you know, we had a trash can missing off of 22nd and we lost a piece of mail off of 23rd. We don't go down the list because some of those, your time is more valuable than that.
You know, you mentioned being a victim, and there was a few months back I had a burglary at my place, and your sheriffs, when they did come out, they came out, they gave me some great advice in how to prevent future burglaries. I took that advice, and
it's worked.
You know, it's worked. And just, you got to kind of watch out for your property. You got to put cameras up. You got to see what's going around. And your sheriffs that responded gave me good advice. So thank you.
And we're economically further ahead if we can prevent the crime than we do try to investigate it and clean it up and take it to court later. So we're more, and we work towards preventing and giving you those ideas and being out there in the community. So that's where we're trying to focus. We're trying to be open with you folks, and we're trying to work with the community and make it a better community and work as partners. So if you hear anything, or if you need something different, or would like to see something different, please let me know. We're open for suggestions or whatever.
I'd like to thank you, too.
Thank you.
I hadn't heard of this. I'm sorry to jump in on you, Jim. And I'm wondering if we could look at your log when we are assessing the lighting for the community, and if that would be a help to us.
Certainly. We're strong supporters. We can every project that comes across us, we recommend lighting through the national standard to make it safer for communities. The big stumbling block we come across is people can't see the stars. Well, if you don't have lights, you're going to see stars, but it's not going to be from up above.
I'd like you to meet Kathy Young, who is on the committee, and she might be talking to you.
Certainly. And Randy Johnson, our crime prevention specialist, has reamed
OCSD employees, but they are every bit as much the heroes of our community as are the highway patrol officers that patrol the streets and our own fire department staff. So. I personally thank you for everything you've done. I've always found you very cooperative, very informative, willing to help and work with the board, and I'm fully satisfied with.
And again, I bring it to your attention because it, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I bring it to your attention because if there is something, it's just like with your fire chief, if there was something you wanted a report of, you know, how many safety issues or how many fires he went to or whatever, you certainly would tell him and he would put in his report. So, and that's the same thing I'm offering to you, is you have that same thing, is you'd like to hear this, you'd like to know this. And when you do ask, you know, what happened with this, normally I know most everything that's going on, but if we don't, I can go right across the street, check the log, come back, get back on and tell you the, you know, who, what, where, when, why for you. So, but I just want to make sure that if you get any feedback from it, that we're doing the best we can to make sure that you guys have the best information and that we can provide you with some crime prevention things to save us money and save you folks the heartache and the money as well.
We very much appreciate it. Are there any public comments or questions for the commander?
Thank you. Okay, again, thank you for the time. Sorry it was so long, but I just need to get that clarified in case, you know, if you get the problem resolved quickly, it's over and done. But appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Commander. Brings us to item number 8, which is a closed session schedule.
Can we move item 11A in front of 8, please?
I prefer not to do that, Vern.
I think you forgot 7B also.
I'm sorry. Again, I'm skipping out of order. Appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Item 7B would be the report of district department heads. Starting with item 1, report of the administrative assistant. Everyone been able to look at that? Comment or questions? One thing I did note on this report was the comment about the very last statement. We just added the first non-full-time person to CalPERS, which required a significant amount of paperwork. Is that... I guess I'm somewhat surprised to see that.
What happens to a firefighter?
1,000 hours a year.
On this one, I had a question on how many. Now, this one, I had a numbers question on how many disconnected services and door hangers. Do you have an idea of what those are? Or I can get them next time because. December was like 588, and this month I didn't see it, so.
Right. The 500 number is the mailing of the late notices.
Okay.
There's usually 75 or so door hangers, and then around 10 to 15 are disconnected for still non-payment.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bill, any comment or questions?
No.
One other question I had is, we worked with our system programmer to update parameters for W-2 and W-3 reporting. Would that be something that we might want to look at, perhaps a payroll service or something? Would that make that? I'm kind of wondering. I don't think too many people work with programmers to deal with something like that. But
it's updating the payroll tax rates. Mm-hmm. And especially with a fire department, a payroll service really is not beneficial. Each firefighter has approximately 6 different rates varying by what type of service they perform. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item 7... B2, report of the utility operations supervisor. Comment or questions? Bill, do you have any comment for us? Okay. I understand your new truck is being fitted out and should be here pretty shortly.
Sometime after the middle of the month, I'm here.
Good.
I had a question on what's happening with well number 6. Have we had an update on what's going on with that one?
Yes, we had a meeting yesterday with the district engineer, and they're working on the bid. The engineer that was assigned to us left the employ of Garing Taylor, and he now is working for Boyle Engineering. And so some of the tasks have been shifted around within the firm of Garing Taylor. And then after the report of the engineer who investigated the well as to what the problems were, we gave it over to Garing Taylor to prepare the information as far as the bid specifications that will come back to this board. The one question that still remains is, if you remember when we talked about it before, there's a one permitting part of the process which we may be able to avoid, and if we can avoid that, it's a $22,000 item. So they're working on investigating the possibility of not needing to do that part of the permitting process for this particular well.
So the 3100 was like a video log of what went on? Was that what you would call
it? Well, he spent about a couple hours with us. Phil, what he looked at the grading on the actual shaft. He inspected the shaft.
Yeah, we had to pull the pump and lay it on the ground. That took a day. And then they TV'd the well, and then they investigated the pipe that we pulled out of the hole.
Thanks.
We were hoping for an easier fix.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 7B3, Fire Chief's Report. Any comment or question? Any comment or question from the public on the department head reports?
I apologize for just blowing in. Oceano Fax and Copy has merged with Dave's Fax and Copy over in Grover Beach, and so I've been working nonstop. So is it possible that I could speak to under the department report for Gina's department? Can you go back on the agenda for me? And it is a fire
we're
item.
We're taking comment on all of three department head reports.
Mary Lucy Oceano.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's to everybody. You know, I've talked to you a lot about policies and procedures, and when we have strong policies and procedures in place, we have a protocol to follow, right? And so when I got to flip through the package, and literally I really flipped, so I'm sorry I didn't read it as thorough as I usually do. I noticed that that triggered the system, and you have to comply. And so I saw it as one is like even a more of a need for policy around this. And what do other fire departments do? Because it's not just how many days I'm not even going to assume it's hours. Because I've signed people up, it's days. And how much time your department put into it. And it's not for a full-time employee. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it for full-time employees, right? And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it for volunteers either. I'm saying we should have a policy so you know what to do. So once again, I'm going to go back to, you know, it's very costly not having policies and procedures that are followed, and it's a hardship on the staff. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm very sympathetic to your comment, Mary. Any other comment on the reports of department heads? Hearing none, can we receive and file, please? Item number 8, then, conference with legal counsel regarding potential litigation. This is regarding Government Code Section 54956.9B, significant exposure to potential litigation pursuant to Subdivision B of Government Code Section 54956.9, one case. Counsel?
Again, let me make one request first. In order to try to accommodate the people here, both giving reports and hear from the public, this is something that everybody's going to have to wait through while we go in another room. Maybe this item is something we can move to the end of 11.
Okay, I agree with you, Vern. I do agree. We can postpone the closed session to after item 11. I don't disagree with that. Thank you for the suggestion. Item 9, fire items. There's none. Item 10, utility items. The first is A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is our continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water mains following the San Simeon earthquake in December of 2003.
So moved to continue the...
A customer who came into the office and indicated they had an extremely high billing, and we indicated to them if they, you know, had a a leak or a break in their line, and they could show us evidence of a repair, that the board had a policy to utilize the averaging. And so they brought us the documentation, and we put this on the board's agenda for the board's consideration.
Okay. And this adjusts the amount to the average usage, which is our normal policy.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Any comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public on this item? I would then look for a motion.
I move that we adjust the utility billing on account number 2-375061 for Tanya Carver.
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the adjustment be made. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Brings us to item 10C, Interim Downstream Release Program. Mark Hutchinson from the County Department of Public Works, the Environmental Program Manager, concerning the Interim Downstream Release Program for Zone 3. Welcome.
Thank you, President Hill and members of the board. I am Mark Hutchinson from the County Department of Public Works. I'm bringing you a brief presentation today. By a little bit of way of background, we'll be talking about the Lopez Project, which we call Zone 3 of the Flood Control District. As you're aware, the Lopez Project is involved in a multi-year habitat conservation plan, working with federal resource agencies, looking towards permitting the dam for endangered species, and also leveraging that permit into some business that we need to do with the water rights permit to adjust it in order to meet current state law. We have put together this presentation and are taking it to each of what we call the Zone 3 contractors. So I'm presenting to your board tonight. I was at Avila last night. Later on this month, we'll be at Pismo Oceano and Grover City, or Pismo Rio Grande and Grover Beach as well. What's happening is that while we're working on the habitat conservation plan, we have a need to protect endangered species. Suggestions from the resource agencies, both state and federal, and also a national fishing group that was threatening litigation, the district began releasing a steady amount of water out of the dam. It's 6 cubic feet per second, which equates to about 4 million gallons of water per day. So we have developed something called the Interim Downstream Release Schedule. The purpose of that is to come up with a plan for managing those downstream releases between now and when we finally get our permits from the federal government to modify the flows based on seasons and as well as the amount of storage that's in the dam. Of course, that's an effort that's ongoing. What's driving this, idea to come up with this interim plan is this brief chart that simply shows, as you can see, the various categories of releases that we currently make from the dam. 4,530 acre feet delivered to the contractors. That's a yearly average. That's the maximum amount in the contracts, and we're close to that on most years. This level downstream release that I was talking about amounts to 4,404 acre feet a year. It's slightly increased in the summer to keep the farmers' wells along the creek in production, and that meets our obligation to provide for their riparian water rights. The dam itself, then, is putting out 8,934 acre-feet downstream through the pipes and the plumbing. It was calculated with a safe annual yield when it was built of 8,730. That leaves us with an average annual deficit of 204 acre-feet a year. Now, I should stop at that point and point out that safe annual yields are calculated very conservatively. The engineers put a lot of effort into making sure that that's a good number, the 8,730, and they build in a conservation factor to account for any differences, I suppose, in the theoretical yield and what's really coming out of the dam. We've done some long-term modeling that suggests perhaps the safe annual yield may be slightly higher. However, using the same factors as when the dam was built and the data that we've developed since it was, we still feel that 8,730 is a good number. Working, as I said, with the Technical Advisory Committee, which is your water managers, they felt that holding to that conservative approach to water production from the dam was the way that we should continue to operate. And so they've urged the county staff to try to address that 204 acre feet. So what we've done is come up with a plan that meets these objectives. We want to be able to continue to meet the contractual obligation. We have some minor concerns about it, and as we negotiate with the National Marine Fisheries Service, there is a need to get some on-the-ground data relative to how the creek responds to releases at the dam. So our approach, after trying several different angles on it, was to start working towards reducing the flows during the wet season. And the simple concept is, now this year is not a good example, but in a typical year, January, February, and March, we get most of our rains. By mid-January, typically the watershed is saturated. The creek is gaining flows from the dam to the creek. We're not losing water to the adjacent aquifers. And just as important, the farmers are in a situation where they're not turning on their big agricultural wells and irrigating their fields, because some of those wells do affect stream flow in the immediate vicinity. And flow in the stream being the key item to avoid any kind of problems with the Endangered Species Act. We also wanted to come up with an approach that, for the cost, had good benefits. We avoided programs that were very expensive and had very little chance of producing additional savings, either in information or in water behind the dam. This is the technical part, hard for the environmental guy. But just a very brief graph. This is an annual chart of how the dam is operated currently. So you could have October on the left and September on the right. There's nothing special about those dates. Puts the bumps in there. And the grid is in cubic feet per second release rates. All this illustrates is that in today's world, a dark blue line, we're releasing 6 cubic feet per second. We get to July and August, we bump up to 7, 7.5, depending on the downstream needs, drop it back down. That equates to 4,404 acre feet. The HCP is an interesting document, and it has two release schedules, one that looks like that, and the other is this 3 CFS through most of the year. And those are dependent on how much water is behind the dam. When we have a lot of water behind the dam, we do good things for the fish. When we don't have a lot of water for the dam, we reduce the flows and we save water for municipal and agricultural uses. In simple terms, what the proposal before us tonight proposes to do is, here in the wet season, the purple line, we would reduce the flows for this 90-day period, not more than down to 3 CFS. Now, it's a little more technical than that. It steps down. There's a lot of monitoring going on, but that's the basic concept behind it. It does raise two concerns, and that's what I'm here to talk to you about. Doing this interim downstream release is not specifically identified in our current contract. It's not specifically prohibited either. Something drastic, drop the stream flows, violate the Endangered Species Act, and subject ourselves to fines and prosecution and a lot of lawyers and those kinds of things. The other concern is that we spend the ratepayers' money. We put in stream gauges and we manipulate the valves, and we don't save hardly any water, and we don't get any information that we can understand. Those are our two general categories of risk. We've taken steps, I hope, to mitigate those. As far as the endangered species thing goes, the interim downstream release schedule does have built in a very careful monitoring program. Essentially, what we did was, within existing accounts, both within Zone 3 and the district as the whole, is we've modified the stream gauges that are existing, added one new stream gauge so that we can, almost on a minute-by-minute basis, remotely monitor what's happening on the stream. And just as important, we can keep all those records and information so that if months down the road there's an allegation that the district might have done something wrong, we'll have the data to show exactly what we did and what the results were. We've coordinated very closely with the resource agencies to partner with them, so they're very aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I can say that they're interested in seeing how the creek responds to wintertime flow adjustments from the dam, and they understand the need for that information. So it's not an adversarial relationship at this point in time. And then we've also taken a very conservative budget approach. The capital improvements we've made have been spread out over 2 years. We've shared money with the district and some other sources. We didn't go in and spend all the money all at once and put a lot of fancy equipment out there. We've actually been able to, for a reasonable cost, I think the total at this point is under $20,000, actually reduce some of the on-the-ground time that staff needs to spend out there, which, as you know, begins to add up. This is the most complicated table I have, but this is something that we developed with the Technical Advisory Committee to talk about feasibility of the program, whether this has a chance of generating any savings in water. You can see that this is our current release rates, and it's just broken down into cubic feet per second and acre feet per day and whatnot. The magic 204-acre-foot number is there, and we see that by reducing the flows from 6 cubic feet down to 4.86, which is not a significant amount. And remember, we would be doing this in the wet season, hopefully in the middle of a storm. If we could hit that average for 90 days, we would be balancing the reservoir. And then just to complete the graph, we took it all the way out to these kinds of numbers, what it would take to get 500 acre feet and what kind of flows advisory committee to look at. That's several years off if we ever got to that point. Depending on how much money we spend in these categories, which is essentially staff time to read gauges, monitor the stream, and report to the resource agencies, and the range that we amount of water, we could be paying between $22 an acre foot and $160 an acre foot for the additional water. Now, in discussing this with the advisory committee, the thought is that amounts up to 204 acre feet, which would balance the reservoir, would be essentially the project's cost spread across all the users, which actually fits in existing budgets. We're using money that was allocated for the Habitat Conservation Plan to do most of this. If the amount went over 204 acre feet, then there's a process in the existing contracts to declare it surplus, and then any of the agencies using a protocol that's already agreed to could essentially purchase that water for their use. So up to 204 acre feet, it's a general cost. Above that, it would be a surplus water cost, and it would be whatever agency wanted to use that water. So, actions on the part of your agency. Again, I'm taking this to all five. We're putting it out for discussion and to answer questions. You certainly have the ability to tell me, don't do it. Oceano doesn't like it. We don't want to participate. You could also tell me this is the greatest thing you've ever heard of and we need to get onto it right away. Or you could say thank you for your report, receive and file it. With that, I'll stop talking and try to answer any questions that you might have.
I'm the representative for Zone 3 for one meeting I've attended.
I need to know what you think for that one.
I tend to defer to Phil's comment on it in terms of our need. I would like to know staff's position. We've thought about it both from Mitch and or Phil.
Zone, if I could, Phil, Zone 3 voted to direct the county to go ahead with the interim downstream release program. As you know, that there was a resolution brought to this board a while back with staff recommendation that we do not adopt the resolution. And this, someday, hopefully, after... I think Mark's been working on this 8 years now, that we'll get a real downstream release program.
I hope you're not asking for a date on that.
No.
Any other comment from the directors?
I had a comment, and I think you mostly answered it, but we've been hit hard here with rate increases due to the Lopez Dam and the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. And I think you said in your program that these additional items that are required for monitoring and making sure that you can make the releases, having people out there to watch, will not cost any more to the ratepayers. It is included in the budget. Is that what you're
telling me? Yes, this is all included. This is currently included in existing budgets.
Excellent. It's the HPC and the other things that might happen later that would increase those rates.
The actually, the way the HCP is proposed at the moment, and I can't speak to future dollars and whatnot, but the way it was submitted to the resource agencies, I believe it also was envisioned to be implemented for the same amount that we've been paying to have it developed through the consultants and the staff to negotiate. ACP has some conservation accounts that have annual contributions, but they're spread out over 20 years, and it has no immediate hard capital costs associated with it. Primarily, we're looking for a permit to manipulate the release rates from the dam.
Would they make you remove some of the obstructions to fish passage that were in your report?
What the HCP has in it is something called a conservation account. We put aside $50,000 a year for 20 years, and then that fund is used to do things like repair stream banks, enhance habitat, remove barriers. Now, the possibility of advancing some of the barrier removal projects is in the interim downstream release schedule simply because, well, two reasons. One's a little sneaky. That's to do some things on the ground to try to spur the resource agencies to react a little bit faster, work harder on our permit, show that we're serious about doing it. But at the same time, sometimes the barriers are what like that.
And it would only be the surplus water over the 204 cubic acre feet that would be an additional higher cost to ratepayers. Is that what you envision? Those that wanted that extra water?
That's the approach that the Technical Advisory Committee wants to take. Mm-hmm. That has to be balanced against some other factors that go into declaring surplus water. It's an interesting, complicated process that I fortunately don't have to operate. But the Technical Advisory Committee felt that if surplus was declared as a result of this, then the agency that purchased the surplus water would pay the full cost, including the interim downstream release schedule costs, okay, in addition to treatment costs and whatnot.
Okay. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Other comment or question? Okay. Is it the pleasure of the board that we receive and file?
Yep.
It is.
We will take public comment on this item. Is there any comments or questions for Mark?
One thing that occurred to me is Oceano owns a vested interest, I understand, of 6% of Zone 3. And yet, with regard to steelhead possibly infractions, I think that would, I understand, would possibly more likely occur right here in Oceano. I would, just as thinking ahead, I would like for any infraction or fines be distributed accordingly, 6% for us, and to be spread abroad. AG, of course, has 50% to be taken up for the rest of Grover and Pismo, I understand. So if we're going to be fined, I don't want us to have to be taken the whole brunt just because an infraction might happen right here in Oceano with our mere 6% interest in Zone 3. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item?
Just a little bit of clarification on that, maybe. Any possible violations would be more upstream, is that correct?
Well, not that I intend to have any violations.
Right.
We've gone to great lengths not to. But my understanding is if there were a violation, it would be a general cost to Zone 3, and my understanding that all those costs are portioned out in percentages as to who uses the water. I couldn't imagine there would be any other approach to that.
And I guess specifically...
And one of the interesting things about Rio Grande Creek, and one of the things we're out to illustrate, is that the dam itself has less influence on the flows in the creek than one might imagine. I have a sense that the resource agencies are approaching the project similar to others in Northern California, where release rates at dams vary from, you know, 6 cubic feet per second to the hundreds of thousands, and they can have dramatic effects on stream flows. With us being out there in the winter, working from 3 cubic feet to 6 cubic feet per second in a stream that's flowing in excess of 100 cubic feet through Oceano, it's hard to understand how some kind of an impact in Oceano could be laid at the foot of the dam under those conditions. I don't want to take that too far, because some of the other influences are actually our Zone 3 partners through some of their water well withdrawals. So we try not to talk too much about that to the resource agencies.
Okay, thank you. Then with that, with the pleasure of the board, we will receive and file the report. Thank you, Mark. Item 10D is titled Grant. This is a presentation by Tony Navarro from the County Department of Planning and Building concerning the Disaster Recovery Initiative Grant, a community development block grant for sewer repairs in Oceano. Tony, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much, President Hill, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Navarro with the County Department of Planning and Building. I'm going to try to keep my presentation fairly short today. I know I think there are more questions and concerns about the contract and the funds and how it all works and the type of activities that need to proceed prior to actual project commencement. So tonight I'm here for the execution of two agreements. The first one is for $660,000 from the Disaster Recovery Initiative funds that were awarded by the state of California a few months ago as a result of the San Simon earthquake and the damage to the Oceano sewer lines. And also the allocation of county CDBG funds that the board awarded last April in the amount of $322,000 for the same project as a result of the funding for these projects in order to meet the CEQA objectives or the regulations, and also the NEPA, which is, I'll explain that a little bit. The CEQA is the California Environmental Quality Act, but because there are federal funds involved, we have to conduct National Environmental Policy Act review for the project. So, you know, we have both the federal agencies and the state agencies looking at us, or will be reviewing this project as we go along and prepare the necessary documents necessary for the project. But so we are incurring some cost at this time, and if you have any questions about that, I can go into that in some detail. But we need to execute the agreement with the state for submission to them by tomorrow in order to meet one of their deadlines. And, interrupt me if you have any questions. I don't want to go too far into it because it's very bureaucratic. There's a lot of procedures here involved. But I'll open up for any discussions from the board members at this time.
Okay. Just noting a little bit of history on this for the public. The our board authorized on July 26th Tony and the County Planning Department to proceed with preparation of initial work on the CEQA and NEPA to meet those requirements.
Yes.
The reviews, and so I presume that that's some of the costs that you mentioned you're incurring some costs, and I would presume that that's related to that previous authorization.
Yes. We're currently using the county's share of its CDBG funds for these costs, because obviously we don't have the Disaster Recovery Initiative funds available yet. By using the county's allocation of CDBG funds from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, we have a little bit more flexibility for project delivery costs and administration for that project, design costs and engineering design costs, whereas the DRI funds are limited. There's only a certain percent that the state will allow for administration. Using the combination of both funds, I think we can meet the community's objective to get this project done.
Okay. There was also that we looked at a list of locations that were inspected, and this was goes back to January of 2005. It came before the board: earthquake damage repair and improvements, sewer main replacements, various locations, approval of bid specifications, and then it lists, you know, the various locations and so forth. Is this tied to that? I didn't see anything.
That's FEMA.
That's FEMA. Okay, so that's something totally different. Can you give us an idea of what we're proposing to do with the funds? There's been considerable public interest in this, and I look back at the July 26, 2006, and the minutes, I'm sorry, the agenda for that meeting talked about authorization of the county to pursue the review for CEQA and NEPA purposes, and the minutes of that meeting also state that we authorized the county to proceed with the review for NEPA and CEQA, but neither the agenda nor the minutes ever mentioned a grant. So I'm very sympathetic to members of the public who may be in the dark here, and then I'm also interested that we, you know, in what our plan is and what areas we intend to repair and that sort of thing with the funds.
I draw your attention to the staff report from July 6, 2006. The second line says that in the discussion, the district has been notified of award of a disaster recovery initiative grant. So I believe that the idea that this is covered by
very few people that ever get the board packet with this material. I do get that, as does the other members of the board, and so yes, there was a staff report here that did discuss that, the fact that grant sums were, this is a grant sum that exceeds $600,000. I've heard other amounts brought up related to things that I didn't necessarily fully understand, of $1 million. I see $600,000. I'd like to get some kind of a general consensus report of what all we're awarded, how we had some questions, I think, that Director Dean and I submitted to the staff, and we had a number of questions, and I still don't see that many of those questions were responded to. So I'm just expressing my confusion and I guess some frustration with inability to get answers.
The scope of the project, the district engineer is waiting for this portion for the we need authority to move forward before the district engineer can actually do the work as far as what the scope of the project is. We have done some preliminary work. We have met with the county staff on numerous occasions, but we don't want to be spending district money creating a project when that money rightfully comes out of the grant. And if we spent the money before we had authorization from the federal and the state people, we would not be reimbursed for that money. We would be spending district money where it's actual grant money. So we don't have an actual scope yet. We have looked at some areas. We've had our sewers, as you know, the board approved the sewer cleaning process, the videotaping, so we know where our problems are within the district. But the actual, you know, putting everything down on paper has not been done, because we have not received, as of this time, authorization to move forward. We've done that on the advice of the county staff.
There is a scope of activities. And real briefly, you know, we've identified through the help of Mr. Cooney and the engineer is that there are 29 segments that need to be replaced. At least the estimate is that up to 29 segments could be replaced with the minimum of 13 segments. Now, those are, as you know, primarily west of Highway 1 or the railroad tracks. And there is $322,000 in county CDBG funds and $660,000 in the Disaster Recovery Initiative funds. So you have there just under $1 million for entire project costs. That does include, as I mentioned, administration, project delivery costs, and the actual money for bricks and mortar, if you will. So the scope it's somewhat vague. You know, we say, well, the maximum is 29, the minimum is 13. And part of the reason for that is, you know, we don't know how much this project is going to cost. You know, we won't know that until we go out to bid or the OCSD goes out to bid. Also, you know, because of the multi-jurisdictional, multi-bureaucratic process that we have to go through just for the environmental review, or reviews, since we're doing CEQA and NEPA, we really don't know how much that's going to cost. We've expended about $30,000 to date. Now, I'm sorry. Let's see, about $3,600 for a biological report. Soon we're going to pay the Moore Group for a wetland delineation report because of, you know, a large portion of this project is in the wetlands, and we have to satisfy several federal and state requirements on that. And a cultural resources study, that's an amount of $8,700. And we still have additional resource identification, so that could be another $10,000. So we're talking about $20,000. And there's still more to be done. What we're trying to do, I guess I'm being a little long-winded here. What we're trying to do is collect sufficient information to satisfy both the state and federal agencies that have some overview over this project, including the Coastal Commission, that we've done our homework. We've crossed.
I want to understand exactly what's going on and what we propose to do. And there's been, you know, a number of concerns brought up with the potential for use of CDBG money in the community. So that's just what my major interest is. A technical, maybe a nitpick detail on the two proposed contracts. They say Oceana Community Services District, a California nonprofit corporation. Is that either correct, or is that something that we have to say, or should it be otherwise described before we sign these?
You are a
subdivision
of the state.
We're a political subdivision.
So that would have to be changed. And I think Mitch has the electronic copy of that could be done within a timely basis. So yes, that is correct. Thank you for catching that.
Okay, both of the contracts have that. Okay, I don't mean to monopolize the conversation. Does any of the other board members have comments or questions?
I have questions mostly about history that happened here, because we've been seeing a lot of contracts come before the board over a period of time for, I believe, they were spot repairs, and it looks like we had over $700,000 in contracts awarded. Could that be correct?
That could be correct. Those were segment replacements of broken line. FEMA only paid for broken. They did not pay for any sags or any other damage to the pipe. It had to be shown as broken, and the repair that FEMA paid for was from manhole to manhole, as proven by our videotaping of the lines.
So we got spot repair money from FEMA for
Correct.
This. So this was all FEMA money until now.
Correct. This is for the sags and the other informities and deformities of the sewer lines caused by the earthquake that were not covered by the FEMA.
So essentially, we can get a new sewer lines mostly all the way through.
In certain places, right.
In certain places.
As it's been
the
said.
The 29 segments.
We've got,
13.
Well, between 13, we've got a map and the little red marks on it, and, you know, we've come up with the areas where we've found some pretty badly sagging lines, yes.
So the ones that, when we hit that $1 million, there's still going to need to be some, there still are going to be some that need to be repaired.
Well, obviously, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the ones that are in the worst shape and start with those, and then we'll move our, you know, sort of move down a priority listing. Some of the 29 are, you know, not as marginal as some of the ones up closer to the top of the range. So, you know, we'll obviously repair the worst ones first and work our way down.
Okay. I have one more question.
That's right.
I read in the report that some of our sewer lines are taking in water, groundwater, and going into the waste treatment plant.
Right.
Okay.
And that's part of what this is.
But it isn't going the other way into the groundwater?
No. Okay. The sewer line and the water line, no, we don't have any of those kind of problems at this time.
The sooner we get the money, the better.
Yeah.
Well, I think here we have the opportunity for a grant to repair our sewers, our sewer lines, and to sit here and nitpick is, I think, ridiculous.
Well,
we have the opportunity to do this. We should not look the gift horse in the mouth and move on with it.
That was not my intent. My intent is, as I share Tony's concern, that everything be done properly so it doesn't come back on us at a future date.
I didn't suggest you were nitpicked.
And we will thank you for the money for our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And for your efforts on this,
yeah.
Indeed. Is there any comment or questions from the public on this item? Mark?
I just had one question about the scope of work as the location. Ratio-wise, the scope of work compared to the east side of the tracks as compared to the west side of the tracks. Is there a balance? Is it one-sided? Do you have a readout or a perspective on that?
Is that something we can...
The scope of work is based on the actual project is based on where the liquefaction took place. It had nothing to do with the east or west side. It had to do where the liquefaction was. And then the liquefaction was liquefaction of the earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Other public comment? Mary?
Yeah. Mary Lucia Asciano. I'm sorry this information is so monotonous to Director Mann, but as taxpayers, I think we have the right to ask the questions, and so please I ask of you, since you're compensated, to be patient. So I'd like Mr. Navarro. There you are. Okay. So I have a lot of questions. I'm going to make it really fast, okay? Because only because I had to work on this darn grant for 12 years of my life, right? So it seems like there's a lot of piecemealing going on, and you're trying to pull all these little unspent funds from these little accounts and pull them together and bring it into the area to make the area better. Is that kind of what's going on?
Not in this case.
Okay. So explain, well, maybe, because this is so backwards for me, you know, because I've prepared grants, you know, and you start with a narrative, then you go into a budget justification, then you go into a scope of work, and then you have your budget, and then you have your timelines, and then you have your map of location, and none of that's happening, you know. And so when the director asks for just the scope of work, what was submitted from the district, and it, you say, well, we referenced it in the minutes, what more do you want? Well, we want the proposal. You know, there had to be a brief proposal. Even if it was a picture of the map of the area with little red marks in a 39-cent stamp. You know, so that's why I asked those questions. And then I couldn't quite grab a hold of the money. So you said 35, 48, 332, and 20,000.
And then now, can I add?
Sure. How about 49,500?
Okay.
30,500.
Okay.
580,000.
Great. Now,
that should add up to 660,000.
Great. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. And then, you mentioned that there were 29 spots. And out of the 29, now, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm, you know, only 50.
That question might come to staff also.
Okay, maybe Phil would know this. Are the lines west of the railroad tracks older or newer than the lines east of the railroad tracks? So my question is the sewer lines, right, not the liquefaction, because I actually live right in the area that, you know, starts to liquidate or whatever it does. Is answers.
I do. I don't like to do this. Trust me, I'd much rather be at home watching.
Is there other public comment on the report? Okay, hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Yeah, this will.
I would like to make a motion to approve the agreement between the County of San Luis Obispo and the Oceano Community Service District for the repair and replacement of damaged sewers in Oceano and the Disaster Recovery Initiative funds, and approve the agreement between the County of San Luis Obispo and the Oceano Community Service District for the repair and replacement of damaged sewers in Oceano using community development block grant funds, and authorize the president of the board to execute the agreements on behalf of the district, and then
could I
make the changes.
Thank you. I was going to ask if you would include in that the agreements be appropriately corrected.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we proceed as indicated. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Thank you very much, Tony. We appreciate the report and your efforts on that.
Thank you.
Mr. Hill, can I ask that this be written down in case something happens to Tony?
I think it's...
Nothing's happening to Tony. We'll keep an eye on him.
We're going to guard him carefully.
Tony, please come back to Oceano soon and help us more.
Okay, with that, let's look at the item number 8 then, which we can relocate to this point. Thank you again for the good suggestion of that. That would be conference again with legal counsel regarding potential litigation regarding government code section 54956.9B, one case.
I thought we were moving this to after 11.
Let's take the closed session item between item 10 and 11. I'm sorry. If that's not what I said earlier, we want to do item 11 first?
Yes.
Okay. Item 11A then.
Are you going to take a break today?
Want to make sure that the public understands how the general manager's contract functions. One of the items in item 3A of the contract, it says that at sole discretion, the district may immediately terminate the general manager, and in that event, district agrees to pay general manager a lump sum cash payment, severance pay equal to 2 months' base salary. And that is what you might consider a no-fault clause in the contract. In other words, if we believe that there's just differences that we have in style or presentation or whatever it might be, that the district has the ability to do that. And council, would, if you please, if I misspeak or state anything incorrect, please correct me at any time. And at this point, in our opinion, myself certainly, and I believe I could speak for Director Bookout, that it's just come to the point where I believe there's been irreconcilable differences, and it appears to us that new staff is in the best interest of the district going forward. So we would propose to exercise that point of the contract, given time for public comment and staff comment and other comment from the board.
Mr. Hill, I have something I'd like to say.
Please, Mitch.
Okay. Recusing oneself is not only required when an elected official has a conflict or a perceived conflict, it is the law. If an elected official declines to recuse himself after being requested to do so, a complaint may be filed with the Fair Political Practices Commission. If the Fair Political Practices Commission finds that an elected official improperly declined a request to recuse themselves from acting, there will be legal consequences individually and personally to that elected official, and possible legal consequences to the governing agency. The legal consequences can be explained by the district's legal counsel if anyone has any questions. Director Dean, you have disqualified yourself from all discussions concerning the lawsuit brought by Mr. Bookout against the district due to your employment with the State of California Department of Transportation, a defendant in this action. Since I am the individual managing the district's position in the lawsuit brought by Mr. Bookout, any decision concerning my district against your suit. There is a clear conflict as you have a direct monetary interest in who the general manager is and who any future general manager may be. Additionally, it can be argued that any attempt by you to dismiss me from district service is an attempt to remove a viable witness against you for any and all claims you have brought against the district. The choices both that Ms. Dean and Mr. Bookout have are: one, is to recuse yourself and let the remainder of the board hear this matter; two, request that this matter be continued until the Fair Political Practices Commission can act upon a request to inform you of your proper status of your involvement in this matter; or three, participate in a discussion and possible decision, knowing that you may be subject to monetary fines and censure by the Fair Political Practices Commission, and knowing that any action taken by you most likely will be voided by the Fair Political Practices Commission, and knowing that any action taken by you may subject you and the district to legal action.
Thank you. Council, would you comment on the statement, please?
I can't comment specifically on the substantive issue of whether Ms. Dean and Mr. Bookout are disqualified. This issue came to my attention about 2 months ago, and I had a brief conversation with Director Bookout at that time. I believe it was shortly before Ms. Dean came on the board. And at that time, I suggested to him that I was not sure whether, as a substantive matter, the proposition that General Manager Cooney has laid out, that he would be disqualified, was correct, but I thought it was at least a colorable claim that might merit some investigation. Director Bookout summarily dismissed it. He was not interested in discussing the issue, and so it was not pursued any further. And I don't have authority on my own to investigate those things. If I had investigated it and had given Director Bookout or Director Mann Director Dean, any specific advice regarding that, advice coming from me on those matters does not insulate them from liability if it turns out that my advice is incorrect. You may recall we had a discussion about that when we were discussing Director Dean's are correct. There is potential for sanction. There is potential for fine, not to the district, to the director who participates. And there is a high degree of potential, if it's determined that it's substantively correct, that the action taken by the board is voided. That's almost a foregone conclusion if it's determined that they improperly participated. So those conclusions stated by General Manager Cooney are correct. One other point that General Manager Cooney did not discuss, which is on sort of a slightly different issue, And I don't want to put too fine a point on it, because at the end of the day, I think we're okay on this anyway. But I do note that the matter is agendized for consideration of modifications to the general manager's contract. I could be wrong, but my understanding is that this came to the agenda on a specific request from Directors Bookout and President Hill, and I believe that's the language they asked for, but I've not seen the request, so I don't know. I could be incorrect about that. And it could at least be argued that termination is something different from modifications. I don't want to, you know, put too fine a point on that, but I think that's at least something worthwhile for you to consider.
Okay, thank you. In your opinion, is a potential termination beyond the scope of general manager's contract? General manager's contract is what the title of the item is. There's a subset here, consideration of modifications to general manager's contract, which was the item that we requested to put on.
I guess if there was a challenge to the action tonight, I would have preferred that the matter be agendized as consideration of termination of the general manager. That would be a much more defensible position. However, I'm not prepared to categorically say that if someone were to challenge only on that issue as to how this was agendized, that the district would lose. It's entirely possible that the district might win. But there is a little bit of a disconnect between the way that the matter is agendized and what you've announced as being the substantive purpose that you're attempting to pursue tonight.
Okay, in
special meeting, there is a separate issue about whether it's if it's to be in closed session, and I'm not prepared tonight to discuss that at great length. But I know General Manager Cooney. Oh, I shouldn't say I know. I suspect General Manager Cooney would object. I will tell you that it is in. I don't know this for a fact, but I think there is a reasonable possibility that Directors Bookout and Dean would be able to get at least a preliminary reading from the Fair Political Practices Commission in a week on the issues associated with mm-hmm. their participation in the matter. And so in all cases, regardless of whether we do it in open session or closed session, I think continuing the matter for a week would be a good idea.
Can I add one thing to that? A preliminary ruling is, if it is incorrect, is also not defendable. You have to have a written ruling from the Fair Political Practices Commission.
I believe that is technically correct, but if the I guess what I would say is if the public agency member does a fair and honest job of describing the circumstances, then usually they're able to get a pretty fair and clear ruling on how the FPPC regulations will apply to them. Usually the people that get into trouble on preliminary rulings either intentionally or inadvertently leave out significant facts in the fact pattern that they describe to the people that they talk to at the FPPC.
Would we not be better off asking for a written determination?
That's probably going to be left at the discretion of the directors involved in obtaining whatever they may wish to obtain from FPPC.
Yeah, it does occasionally happen that a public agency will ask their legal counsel to coordinate that, so it ends up going through the legal counsel's office to obtain the ruling on behalf of the directors. But very often it comes as a direct letter from the public agency.
We know that Wednesday night, a week from tonight, is available.
This is Sanitation District's normal meeting at 6
o'clock.
We could then perhaps do 7:30. Okay, let's schedule a special meeting then for 7:30 after the conclusion of the sanitation district meeting.
Did you not take any public comment on this agenda item?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we will.
So I have to understand this meeting will be closed meeting?
No. I am going to request it's open because this definitely is a termination is disciplinary action. And I do have the right to request it be open.
Council, you've given us some conflicting advice on that.
Yes, and the last memo I gave you is what I believe is correct. The rules say that when a public agency is considering the appointment, evaluation, and I believe, although I've got it here, perhaps I can check it, I believe it also says discharge of a public official, of an employee, you can go to closed session. On the other hand, there is no right of the employee to require that it be an open session. On the other hand, in the same section, in somewhat ambiguous language, it says that if the reason for going to closed session is to hear complaints against the public employee that could lead to discipline, then as a condition of going to closed session, the public agency is required to give the employee at least 24 hours written notice of the closed session that is planned, and the employee has the right to require that the meeting be an open session. And so you get caught in this trap of whenever there is consideration of termination of an employee, presumably it's because there's a complaint. That's not categorically in every single case, but
sessions?
No, not at all. These are conversations I've had with them outside of this meeting room, but not in closed session.
But not in this public meeting.
Not in this public meeting. Well, but it's not in closed session.
Why is this public talking time?
It was a point of order. It would serve as a point of order.
Just so we all understand, points of order can only be brought by a member of the body, and the only members of the body are the elected officials.
Thank you.
Notwithstanding the fact that that's often ignored here. I believe in good faith that the intention of President Hill is to do this under the at-will provisions of the contract. So at least a fair argument can be made that complaints don't make a difference. So we're on the horns of a dilemma, and I don't have an absolute crystal clear answer for you. What I will tell you is most HR people and most lawyers, most public agency lawyers, prefer to do these kinds of things in closed session for all the reasons that you might imagine about getting involved in a very emotional conversations and about somebody's livelihood and whether they've done a good job or a bad job. And as a general proposition, I fall within that general consensus. But I also believe that it's in the best interest of the district to try and avoid litigation. And in the interest of trying to minimize litigation that could arise based upon the objection that Director Cooney has made, I think my advice would be to do this in open session, because while that might be a very painful thing for the community and for everybody involved here, I think it serves us best to try and minimize the possibility of litigation and all the distractions that go along with that.
Thank you for the recommendation.
And that is all it is, a recommendation.
I understand and appreciate that. I would be discretion.
Or to be held
in open session at his choice.
I think that solves my problem. And if Director Dean or Director Bookout want any assistance in connecting with the FPPC or structuring your question to them, let's talk after the meeting.
I would definitely like to have some communication with you regarding that and your assistance in getting an answer for myself and Director Dean. Okay.
Both of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Public comment on this item. Limited, I think we can pretty much allow public comment on this item. This will be taken up at a special meeting 1 week from tonight.
Two items. Number one, are not all board members automatically indemnified regardless of board actions? In other words, decisions that are made by board members, are they not automatically covered under district counsel?
May I answer that question?
Please do.
As a general proposition, board members are indemnified against civil liability, but they're not indemnified against civil penalty liability from a public agency for violating their trust as a public official. So a fine that might, here would be a good example. A fine that might come down from the Fair Political Practices Commission, if it were ultimately determined that they acted improperly, the district could not indemnify them for that. Okay. On the other hand, if General Manager Cooney, as a result of the action, were to pursue civil litigation against the district and the individual directors, under the vast majority of circumstances, not absolutely every one, but under the vast majority of circumstances, the district would be required to indemnify the directors against that kind of liability.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And number two, if we recall our last meeting, my memory serves correct, is that Mr. Seamus had given the go-ahead to poll this board as a...
This item was not scheduled as a closed session item to begin with, so... we're advised that we don't have the choice.
Okay. All right, thank you.
The prior item also truly was modifications to the contract as opposed to a different action that's being pursued tonight.
I'll be very briefly. Mr. Cooney had to sit there and describe the letter of the law while we had an attorney sitting there. This attorney, I'm sorry, Mr. Seamus is not the best attorney for personnel issues, and I would really, really advise Director Dean and Director Bookout to step outside. I will, take up a slush fund to get you legal, proper information. I don't know is not a very good answer, and I'm sorry. You need to recuse yourself when you don't know, and that's quite a bit around this topic. Secondly, you're reviewing an employee, and you're saying to the employee, typically we do this in closed session, right? But because you want to be a martyr and do this in public, it's your choice. And that's not how it works in human resources. I'm sorry, So maybe you can get an attorney who's going to actually lead you away from litigation versus towards the light. So those are the only two things I'm going to say tonight. Please get outside legal counsel. And if we have an attorney here, why is Mr. Cooney having to tell us the letter of the law?
Thank you. Other public comment? please.
If there's a desire of the board to seek outside legal counsel, I can give you a half a dozen names of public agency attorneys who do this kind of thing.
I'm Joe Shacker, a proud member of Oceano. I certainly am proud of Mitch. A couple things for Mr. Bookout. It's pretty ironical. You recluse yourself from approving checks that are written to the attorney representing the community, but you won't recluse yourself from voting to fire the person that's defending the community against you. You're hypocritical, obvious. The last time I met with you all, I asked you to leave your personal agendas at the door. So you can't do that, can you? Seems like you're trying to hurry in a friend into this position. 14th? For a while there, I thought it was February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. For you who saw the movie, it was truly a comedy. And that's what you're projecting to the whole community and other communities. Deja vu, Yogi Bear. You should be spending more time gathering information to make logical decisions in general. But again, you're so driven by your own personal agendas. Clearly, you've thrown logic to the wind. How are we to count on you to make good decisions in the future on other items instead of pulling into your bag of tricks? I thought at the last meeting we agreed on having Mitch through June 30th. We're all satisfied with that. What's the hurry now? Two-faced. The only thing I can see is you're hurrying to put somebody in a position that you've handpicked. Are you trying to bypass the selection process to put your person in? You've got the best qualified person right here, making less than half the salary that he should be making. You're making a fool of yourself in the view of other communities, and it's coming out. It's not just from me. You're getting a worse reputation than the Los Osos board. Mr. Bookout, I just can't believe the hypocrisy that you're exhibiting. You clearly have a friend. You knew when you bought your property it was in a flooded area. You knew it. I'm saying this tonight so the viewers of this tape can see this. And I asked you why. You swore to represent this community in good faith. Yet you're turning around spending this community's money fighting you on something you knew about before you bought the property. Why don't you come out and tell everybody about that instead of trying to get the press to come over and talk about martyrs? He gets the press coming over and say, look at the flood around the property. But you knew about that when you bought the property.
Your comment's exceeding five minutes.
Thank you very much. I'll see you next week.
We'll look forward to it. By one way of responsive comment, the attorney managing the litigation is not Mitch Cooney, so I'm somewhat confused about why the charge was made that related to the general manager.
That general manager would be.
Well, I would expect then that any general manager would act in the best interest of the district regardless, and therefore it seems to me that that's not an issue to be considered here. Moving on. Item 11B.
Yeah, my name's Kerry Nichols. I'm an Oceano resident. My family's lived here for 25 years. Mr. Seamus characterized this as something of being on the horns of a dilemma. I submit that this dilemma was created by this new board. I think there's a lot of personal agendas going on. Matter of fact, I've witnessed some of these personally. You mentioned irreconcilable differences. I'm sure they've been. This is the first meeting I've been to in a while, so excuse my ignorance. But you've mentioned several your irreconcilable differences, and no charge is being brought. Next week, when we have this hearing, I'd like to know what those differences are and what those, What is the problem here with a professional like Mitch Cooney? Because I've seen him at work for a long time, and he does a good job. I don't know who you guys think you're going to get to replace this man. I also have a real problem with somebody that's supposedly a leader in the community suing us. That's just ridiculous. There are lots of remedies to his problems, and a lawsuit, I'm sure it's all for the good of the community and all that. It has nothing to do with personal property or anything like that. Right, Bill? But
please address your comments to the president of the board.
Excuse me. It just seems a little absurd to me. Now, I'm going to be here next week, and I want to hear some good reasons why this whole action is being taken. Thank you.
To briefly respond to that, we do have a new board, and times change and situations change. The majority of the board was elected by the people of Oceano. Other public comment on this item? Kathy?
Kathy Young, Oceano. I don't think I'll be able to be here next week, so I thought I'd get my comments. I think people need to be more logical. I heard some really whopper rumors the last week, like the board is handpicked already, which I've heard this last gentleman say, the new general manager. Well, being as I've, as a citizen, been interested and involved in the process of where they're going to get a new general manager, I would say 100% certainty that isn't true. They've made putting this out for job interviews for people. And I think somebody owes the board an apology for saying that they've already handpicked the new general manager. And so logically, I think it's a good idea that you start new with somebody new. And I think that would get rid of a lot of conflict. Times do change. I think everybody thinks that no one else can do this job but Mr. Cooney. I think somebody else can do the job but Mr. Cooney. A lot of people get the idea that if they're in a job and they drop over dead, the place is going to stop, and this place isn't going to stop any more than any other place would if we have a new general manager. I think it might bring new blood. I think it'd be a good idea for a change, and then I think there would be less conflict. And personally, I don't know why Mr. Cooney would want to stay in a job if he feels there is conflict and he's not wanted by the majority of the board. It doesn't make for a good, very good working situation, whether people agree or disagree with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other public comment?
I'd just like to say that the result of your decision, whenever you make it, isn't really going to affect me in any way, or as much as it will some. I don't live in Oceano, and I'm not an employee of the OCSD. However, I was assigned to a position working in that office, and I enjoy working with Mr. Cooney and Gina and the rest of the staff. Mr. Cooney's departure from that would change what is now a cohesive, effective, and pleasant working environment. I'm here because I feel like when you're faced with a challenge, you need to step up to the plate and take aim. There's a small number of people who think that the negative philosophy is the norm and the way to conduct business. However, folks, that is not the way to win votes or retain your seats or represent your public fairly. You directors owe the voting public a debt of gratitude for allowing you the privilege, and I can say without hesitation, that Mr. Cooney has always dealt with each and every challenge a customer who comes through the door at OCSD. I have seen Mr. Cooney take calls from concerned citizens and leave the office to investigate whatever problem the citizen has faced. He has been more than patient with all people who come to the front counter to pay their water bill and other issues. He has listened patiently when customers have less than positive things to say with the extent to which their water bills have been increased. Isn't this more in the area which should be addressed instead of your own personal feelings regarding Mr. Cooney? Have any of you ever been to the OCSD office to observe what really goes on? Do you really have a clue what happens on a daily basis? Not to break the rules, but Ms. Dean, how can you represent your constituents?
I will have to insist that you address the comments to the president of the board.
How can you accurately represent your constituents when your name is linked with the website called Oceano Watchdog? Its very name suggests lack of trust in the organization to which you are associated. It has been reported that you donated $75 to establish this website. But do you honestly believe that through this site, people, your voting public, are getting access to the honest accounting of the director's voter history and any other positive, accurate information? Why not support the very people you represent and encourage them to rely on a community-based, unbiased site like the OCSD website, which publishes an agenda and results of each vote? Another thought is, why is the author of this site unidentified? Yet it's full of I this and I that. If you voice your opinion, why not come forward and identify yourself and stop the secrecy? I do have to give credit where it is due. Since you were made aware of the unethical practice of putting a time bomb on a little dog at the December 13th meeting, this picture has now been removed. However, as a Welsh Corgi owner, I guess, why not retain Mr. Cooney as the general manager? He's capable, willing, and able, has vast knowledge and experience in this capacity, and is more than qualified to continue in his position as your current manager. Mr. Cooney exemplifies professionalism, and his integrity is an asset to your district. Have you really calculated the expense of recruiting a new general manager? Not to mention the time and effort it would require for a new person to become efficient as Mr. Cooney is. I sincerely hope that you will listen to the positive comments this week and next that are made here and abide by what the public requests, not just the negative statements of your small majority and your personal agendas. Why not spend your time in a productive activity like ensuring that the community of Oceano and the people you have elected you to represent them are not the laughingstock of the community? Thank you.
I find it interesting that it appears that staff has plenty of time to be fooling around on internet websites.
Yeah, people do have personal time.
I'm sorry, sir. That was done on my time at home after 5 o'clock.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's Alan McKenzie, Oceano resident. Is it my understanding this contract runs through June?
That's correct.
Okay, so if we're going to go to logic here, we're potentially leaving ourselves open to litigation to terminate someone who's only going to be here till June, and yet the justification for that is times change. I would think if the contract ran 2 years down the road, we could make that comment. Obviously, this is a railroad job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Norm.
Good evening. My name is Norm Getty, Oceano resident. I would simply like to request that the board give serious, careful consideration to the direction. I will confess I am blindsided by this particular move this evening. The reason I'll say that is to clarify for the public's understanding that I made myself available to the Personnel Committee because I had interest professionally done and would meet professional standards. I have no dog in the fight. My concern is that this board, this community, decisions made, regardless of whether it's Mr. Cooney or anybody else in the community, would receive a reasonable considerate approach. I've heard outside comments about the acrimony of a previous meeting. That distresses me. I am a person who has a belief system that says, you know, we need to negotiate our way to the center. Life is absolutely too short to be invested in other processes. I speak slowly and carefully because I'm impassioned over this concern. And I really, really encourage listening to counsel, of giving thought to the motives. And I think unless there's a clear, clear, defensible position within the community for moving up the dismissal or moving up the termination time, I think we're going to waste a lot of resources, time, energy, emotion, and relationships in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Norm. Other public comment? Okay, hearing none, we will move to item 11B, which is recruitment of a general manager, consideration of the job description and job announcement for the next OCSD's general manager.
This is President Hill. I'm sorry, I think we have the same problem as far as two members of the board. Whoever the general manager is, I don't believe you can be involved in litigation and then personally choose the person who is going to defend against that litigation. I think there's a problem. And I'm just, in this instance, I'm looking out for the two board members because, it doesn't make any difference to me if this is done or not. But I really think, and I think that the three of you could certainly come up with a job description and announcement, but I'm just saying I think you probably have the same problem with this because you're asking people who recuse themselves on a particular.
I can't say that right now off the top of my head I agree with Mr. Cooney, but it seems to me then it might become an issue. Today all you're talking about is the general framework of the process and a fairly generic job description. And so while I can't say it's without risk, I think the risk is pretty minimal on this stage of the process. And so at some risk of being second-guessed, I think you probably bear little risk of going forward and participating in this phase.
Thank you very much. Then we would consider the report that was prepared by the Personnel Committee. Norm, you had given us a lot of good suggestions and input on this.
All right. Norm Getty, Oceano. As a volunteer member of the Personnel Committee, as an aide to the group, because of personal interest about proceeds in the community, we did proceed to develop a job description, which is in fact a generic overview of the position as it's viewed. In effect, it's a fleshing out of the original job description as it existed prior.
And Norm, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Dahl.
Yeah.
With due respect, I'd like to complete my comments.
Norm has the floor. I think we'd like to hear his.
I was about to say that in deference to concerns that were expressed previously about the job description and whether or not it met legal review, I was about to say that in fact the committee took the steps of having the job description presented to the district's attorney for general review, and he passed comments back to the committee, a number of which were incorporated, and his comments were taken as being not a total blessing, but also didn't see anything in terms of a legal concern that would be expressed. Hopefully I'm representing those comments.
That's accurate. The comments that were rejected by the committee, the explanations that they gave me all made sense and seemed perfectly appropriate as a matter of a policy decision as opposed to a legal matter.
Yes. Yeah. Again, the purpose of a job description, the person authority. Authority is granted through the actions and the decisions of the board and the enacted processes and policies of the board, if I'm correct. So the job description does not do anything except provide a standard for candidates to make their application to you as the district directors. The second part of it was an advertisement which would be placed into the appropriate magazines for advertisement, the public sector advertisement entities. Web listings are possible now. Examples are the Community Services District Association is the association of district persons such as Mr. Cooney who affiliate themselves, and they maintain a website and there's activity going on, so it's a resource for hiring persons. Within the Central Coast, we enjoy the privilege of having the Central Coast Human Resources Association available to us to aid in the process of developing strategy, process, questions for review, development of panels for interview. All of those things are available to us as a community and as a board of directors. I had planned to make this brief presentation in two parts. One is to simply summarize the activity to date, which is the development of the job description and the development of the ad. As a second part, I was willing and able to conduct a general description with a handout of an overview, a snapshot view of a possible activity to follow. In other words, a procedure, a hiring process. I've had the privilege of talking with a number of local governmental officials with whom I have first name acquaintance. I've had a chance to interview a couple community services directors in terms of learning about the process, learning what they went through, learning what was suggested and what might be an appropriate process, following again on the heels of the recommendation made by council in one of your previous meetings. I have that available if you're interested in looking at that for discussion. My goal was to involve the board into an input process in that so that we might have the board looking into and being party to the process of search and interviewing.
That may be a slight exposure that the district may have that this is that there's a conflict of interest involved here. I think we need to have a ruling from the Fair Political Practices Commission as to whether it is or not before we proceed down this road. And if that takes filing a complaint with them to do that, then whatever we need to do to make sure that this is done properly and the district is not exposed.
So that wasn't a question for me.
No.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Can we comment on the job description?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I just saw one or two things in here. In the first paragraph, I think we need to include Parks and Rec because that is one of our powers. Even though we're not actively having budget there, that needs to be in there because it is a power.
Okay. Interesting you would bring that up. And I want to say, too, that in the meetings I attended, Manager Cooney was party to the Personnel Committee activity, and I would say to everyone's credit that he was a valuable asset in terms of making comments and making input. He's been a participant in this process to date. The topic of Parks and Recs did come up. It's while it is an area of concern, there's not a budgeted element to it at this time. The agreement was that since there's not a budgeted responsibility for that particular element, that it would not be included as a duty.
While
the district does oversee it, there is no budgeted program for it.
But how do you? I'm not going to be argumentative.
No, it's okay.
But I feel that since that's one of our listed powers, it should be on there.
And it's just,
and it's no big deal. It should be included on it.
And it's not a budgeted item this year.
I understand. And please understand that this is a snapshot view of the job at present. Yeah. It doesn't preclude the incorporation of duties and details in the future, by no means. Okay, it's a present view.
Yeah, and then I just had one other question. I think on page 4, that might be the key relationships. You know, we talk about a water and sewer supervisor, but we don't talk about the admin supervisor. Was that just an oversight?
Claire?
Like I say, I don't think it was deliberate. I don't think it was reducing...
I don't believe there was any intentional oversight there.
No.
That's what I say. That is just what I said. I don't think it was intentional, but I'm just bringing it up.
Yeah, it's the benefit of viewpoint and benefit of understanding people's understanding. Correct.
Those were the couple of things I had in this.
That certainly should be something that could be modified on the spot and on the scene. I don't think there's any problem including that by title. I should think not.
It could be stated as administrative supervisor and staff.
Yeah. And 3 staff instead of 4.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't know what was the final result on parks and recreation. Is it in or out?
I know that the district has had quote unquote park and rec authority before. Perhaps we need maybe Barb, with your involvement in LAFCO, we could get some kind of a direction. I'd like to know what our exact park and rec authority is when we have no budget.
Well, one of
the mean that you're not going to have budget.
And I'm also concerned about conflicting with the county responsibility for parks.
Well, it doesn't
there.
Include the county park. I mean,
one of the things that we are looking at is, I mean, one of the things that I guess is our biggest wish is a park on the east side of the community. And that certainly would fall under parks and recreation.
Yeah, I think that was one of Mr. Bookout's committees last
year. We worked really hard on that last year, getting a park on the east side. And, you know, that's something we shouldn't give up on in our community. Our community deserves a park on the east side of our town.
Yeah,
that's why it's one of our powers.
Just to understand, we're not suggesting that anything be given up or anything be overlooked in quote, the job description. And again, if the board, if a majority of the board decides to include a statement for park and recs, by all means include it. It's like
adding 2 words.
Yeah. From a technical standpoint, from the discussion standpoint, the conclusions were drawn as we drew them and as you see them this evening. So, okay. Any other questions?
Are there questions for Norm?
I noticed on page 1, number 6, there's an item in here that says recommends the hiring promotion.
Yes, because he's theoretically that has been his job to hire the water supervisor.
This goes against you. This goes against. Against the way that districts and the authorities of boards are set up as a whole, boards don't hold that authority. That's not what boards are supposed to do. That's outside the normal duties of a board, This is something that we hire the general manager to do. He's the one that's supposed to take care of the employees underneath him and decide who's going to be
We had this discussion, Mr. Dahl, and Mr. Cooney was present, and as I recall, we did discuss the 2 elements, and apparently there was no conflict in what we finally came out wording-wise. I don't recall that there was disagreement about that.
Yeah, this is not... This is not the way. This is not the normal duties of a board. The board doesn't have the expertise to do this type of thing. That's what we hire a general manager to do. And what does this do then? Put the general manager in charge of the exempt employees, but not them, and then the exempt employees as well, in charge of the non-exempt employees.
You're welcome to discuss that. I'm not here to determine board policy. I'm here to just simply comment on the job description as developed.
I see there to be a problem.
We may want to consider that and ask council's opinion on how this is worded.
Can I jump in here just for a second? And I'm not going to make any recommendation as to what I think it should say, but one of the things that it does is it causes a conflict between department heads and the general manager, because the general manager manages the staff but not the department heads. So what happens if the general manager tells the staff member something and the department head tells them something differently? The general manager, under the way it's written, does not have direct authority over the department.
Excuse me, President Hill, is there still public comment open?
It is. Yes, it is public comment.
Okay, I just would like to also confirm that I did attend that last meeting, and the material that was presented by Norm was what we had discussed, and my recollection was that Mr. Cooney was present and he did not have any objections to the basic material other than points of clarification. So I think the notion that the personnel committee is somehow in error of doing this is erroneous. Okay, all things that were approved by Mr. Cooney were approved, and there was no overt objections to the material that was presented. Now, I also recall the Parks and Rec Department, and if I recall what Mr. Cooney said, is that the Parks and Rec authority within the district has to do with scheduling and programming. It has nothing to do with budgeted items, infrastructure, building, construction of parks, etc. It had to do with programming. And I believe if we go back to 1989, correct me if I'm wrong, but the district was stripped of that. And that there was no authority granted after 1989 when the voters pretty much denied the financial capability or authority with the district with regards to Park and Rec. So if, you know, I wanted to make what I heard that came out of that discussion. And secondly, Mr. Cooney, I believe, is correct when he says that with regards to the board authority over hiring and firing, that is with regard to department heads and not within personnel staff. Personnel staff would be under the jurisdiction of the general manager, but not department heads, and that is what I recall. Okay, thanks.
For my position as a member of the personnel committee is that this is not a matter that's set in concrete. This is something that we're bringing to the board for commentary and resolution. And so we will consider before we accept this whether Parks and Rec should be listed, whether the item 6 is proper, and we'll also make sure that council's aware of that and agrees with it. But this is not something that
decision and move on. On the other issue of the general manager's authority over exempt and non-exempt employees, if you think back to your high school or junior high school civics classes when you were studying about local government, you might vaguely remember that there were basically two types of local government that you'd see. There'd be one where you'd have a relatively strong administrative person vested with a lot of authority that would then come seek ratification on certain kinds of items from the elected body, and another one where there was a more strictly defined type of authority for the administrative person, and they were more of just an administrative person, not given quite so much discretionary authority. And those situations where the paid chief executive officer had less authority tended to be in smaller jurisdictions where democracy is much more direct, and the elected officials wanted to have their, I don't mean this in a pejorative way, but kind of have their fingers in the pie a little bit more.
And you tended to find in much larger jurisdictions where it's more complicated and you need a more professional staff, a much more centralized authority in the general manager, and or whoever the chief executive officer was. It's really just a matter of policy. And you need to understand the implications of the policy that you're adopting, but it's just a matter of policy for you all to agree on and then move forward on. And if you get a year or two or three or five or ten down the road and you decide you want to change the policy, you can. You just need to make sure that in between today and the day you change the policy, everybody understands what the rules are and plays by them.
Well, there's a couple things that I have a problem with that on. And number one is, first of all the trainings I've ever been to and all the experts that have ever come and spoke on this and talked about this issue is this is just not done where the board does any of the hiring, firing of the actual employees from the, you know, within the district. In addition to that, once the board gets involved in hiring and firing employees, then the employee has a that may not be covered under this indemnity that we have as board members that we talked about earlier.
Fern, you seem to have a major problem with this, and I don't have a particular. I didn't see it as a change to policy. And it's not, I don't think it's our intention to change policy or set policy with this document. If you would prefer that it says hires, promotes, recognizes,
what I, you know, what I would prefer that it says is line 6 is removed entirely, and line 5, the word non-exempt is removed.
I have no objection to that. If other members do, I don't think our objective again is to change policy with this or to set policy with this.
Okay. Well, that would be great.
That's fine.
Acceptable to everyone?
I think we need to get on with this because we want to go ahead with the advertising and. The job description is integral to that. We had a lot of people work very hard on this, Norm Getty being one. Many people came to the personnel committee and helped us with this. If this is, let's get rid of number 6, let's add administrative assistant to the administration, but I prefer to keep out the Parks and Recs because I think that is a program, recreation program. It is not our duty here. So that's where I stand, but I'd like to get on with it and go forward. That was the whole thing on pushing the personnel committee, and we worked very hard. Norm was one of those. We had a very good group of people speaking to this. Mitch Cooney was involved with this. Alex was involved with this. I've kept Alex in the loop with our decisions, how we made our decisions. So if you want to remove that, I would recommend, delete number 6, add staff, exempt and non-exempt to the line above. Change.
Or you can just remove the word non-exempt and just leave it as employees.
Barbara points out on page 2 that there's similar. Move the word non-exempt from the third from the bottom bulleted item. Did I describe that accurately?
I think so.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think in the Not to belabor the Parks and Rec, but I think when the update was done from LAFCO, you know, when they when LAFCO did the review, and I think that Parks and Rec is mentioned in there, and we probably have that sitting out here. So it, as far, I think as far as Lafco is concerned, it is one of our duties. But I don't care if it's in the job description. I'm just saying to be accurate. But it is one.
LAFCO's given us Parks and Recreation, all the things we... Is there anything we're missing?
No, the Parks and Rec and the other six things. Because when we did, when they did that update or review, they added garbage at that time because we didn't have that in the review before. So, but I can... if we don't have a copy of that here, but I think we do, we should have. If not, I can get the copy tomorrow when I'm at LAFCO.
I'd like to have a copy of that.
Yeah. Because we're almost ready to do it again. It's, can you believe it's been almost 5 years?
Wow.
Okay. Is there any other making those changes then?
This looks good. If you know, with the changes that have been suggested, you know, we need to move forward with this and get this behind us and get some advertising.
Okay. Do is the consensus then that the direction that we deem appropriate to be make the changes that were discussed. Publish this and disperse it and seek publication of ads and so forth.
I'd like this done through a motion, please.
Would you like to make the motion, Vern?
No, I would not.
Okay, then I would move that the...
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we accept the... amended description and move to proceed to publish that widely. Would you like a roll call, Vern, or should we
please
just do... Okay, let's have a roll call on that, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
I'm going to vote no on this because I have a... I'm not comfortable with Director Dean and Director Bookout being involved in this process.
Director Mann?
I'll vote yes on this. It may come back that they weren't allowed to do this, but I will vote yes on it.
President Hill?
Yes. Thank you. Item passes 4-1. Brings us to item 11C, investment policy and annual investment report.
President Hill, just in the interest of time, because it is getting late, I just wanted to let you know on item 8A, the closed session, all it is a status report. There's no action pending or action requested, so there would be no harm done if you wanted to kick that over to either the special meeting a week from now or the next regular meeting 2 weeks from now in order to free up a little bit of time to move through the rest of your agenda.
Okay, I appreciate that. We may, if all it is just a status report, we may move that to the special meeting.
Yeah.
Continuing then with item 11C, investment policy and annual investment report. I'd rather not bounce around and just keep it. As we have it.
Have to resign from something.
The district's investment policy report is here. We are asked to readopt the district investment policy. The staff has reviewed the current investment policy, if I'm correct, and finds that it should be modified to include a comprehensive reserve policy. Do we have a any other recommendation from staff?
No, this stems out of the Orange County problem that happened years ago when the there was no investment policy. The county treasurer was investing money at
on the report, the last page. This is the actual quarterly report. It says mutual fund account, sweep account is. Could we get a little better explanation of what mutual fund account consists of?
Well, this is the money that's in the Mid-State Bank. What happens is they move back and forth between $100,000. They keep $100,000 in the checking account, and they have funds that they need to move in there when we write large checks. We try to maintain that based upon what we foresee as the district's cash flow position. For an example, right after this report was made on December 31st, we owed the county $500,000 for the Lopez water, state water, and so we owed a large amount of money. So we moved money out of our investment into the mutual fund sweep account, and basically what happens is if this check operating account falls below $100,000, that's where Mid-State Bank gets the money. But we usually keep that at a different, you know, based upon what we think the cash flow needs of the district are going to be. And as I said, right after this report was prepared and the money was transferred at the end of the year, we had that large expenditure, which was due to the state and to the county for water. Yeah. And so we obviously beefed this up because those two checks would hit the account.
The term mutual fund account, I mean, in my mind,
account.
Pardon me?
That's what they call it.
I guess just for everyone's benefit, it's not something that you go to Merrill Lynch and do mutual fund account. It's just it's the name of their account, which is basically an account with the bank, not a. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. How would you recommend to carry out the modification for a comprehensive reserve policy?
I agree with
your suggestion on that.
I think what we should do is have the chair of the Finance Committee call a meeting and review the current balances that we have in the reserves as a percentage of the operations of those particular funds. And then come out with a minimum policy, such as 3%. You know, we shouldn't go below 3%. Shouldn't go below 5%. Bring in the different departments
at this, and does make recommendations to bring back to the board. Any other commentary from the board
on this reserve policy? Is that something you get when you meet with the local agency investment fund? Do they have conferences where they tell you how to manage and what they expect for local agencies to do?
I've been to several of those, but they don't come out with a number. They don't say you've got to have X percent or you should have X percent, because every organization is different. Every organization faces different things. I mean, you could have like our CSD has water lines that have been put in the ground years ago. Others have brand new water lines. So the need of the district would be totally different as far as reserve goes. So they don't come out with a number. They come out with a methodology, and I kind of explain that methodology, where you come up with a percentage that you think will work, below which you won't go.
Okay. Yeah. So the Finance Committee would meet with each of the with Phil and
right, and we'd have a meeting, and you know, Phil would come in and explain, you know, some of the larger expenses that were possible, and then you say, well, okay, the sewer department shouldn't have a reserve of less than X, and this is what it's got now, and then how do we get there? You know, I mean, how long does it take us to get to that point? We may be below, if we're below it, mm-hmm. then you know, how long will it take us to get to that point? Because you know, you don't necessarily buy it all off on one year.
A plan.
Yeah, a 5-year plan or a 2-year plan or whatever
plan.
It might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we include the lighting?
I'm sorry?
The lighting?
Sure.
Street lighting?
Sure.
In that reserve program?
Sure. You can include anything.
So I'll let Kathy know.
How's Tuesday? Pamela?
Tuesday is, I think that's when the railroad is here for the creek review.
Yeah.
At night?
During the day.
3 o'clock to 27th.
Yeah.
3 o'clock to 27th.
Oh, it's the 27th, not next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Could we put it off just a little bit, because we've got a personnel meeting, we've got this meeting, a special meeting here. I mean, could we put it off to say the week of
at 6 o'clock?
Yes, please.
Okay, is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, I guess we'll look for a motion to approve.
So I will go ahead and move, I guess. I move that we act to approve the investment policy adopted by the OCSD directors with the direction to go to the Finance Committee to look at modification to the comprehensive reserve policies.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Item 11D is Board of Directors travel and pay policy, consideration of travel and pay policy.
I've received nothing in my packet on this item.
There was nothing on it. What I have is a proposed draft that I've left on the table, and I have some other copies.
Well, then let's reschedule this for the next meeting, so we have time to look over what's being proposed.
I don't propose that this be anything other than a draft for the directors to look at, and that we would consider bringing it back on a next agenda or at another time. Okay. So all I wanted to do with this was just present it.
Okay, well, it's presented in written form, right?
Pardon me?
It's presented in written form?
That's correct.
Okay.
So there's no action or anything to be taken on it other than just, I would request that you take a look at it. Pardon me?
Could you make sure a copy gets to me?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
The Oceano Dunes Strategy Task Force. This is consideration of Supervisor Ashajian's request to appoint a member to his Oceano Dunes Strategy Task Force. During the town hall meeting that Supervisor Ashajian held Monday a week ago, I guess, he had proposed setting up a force, and that would require the board to approve that appointment.
Director Bookout, you were suggesting at the meeting that the county put a road in over the creek out by the airport as a second access to the, or as another access to the dunes over there?
That's one suggestion that needs to be looked at. You know, relieving the traffic on Pier Avenue is important. We need to have, our community needs to have input that benefits the whole community of Oceano. Okay.
That proposal that you made takes traffic or through or close to your property or within 500 feet of your property?
No, it does not.
It wouldn't change traffic patterns around your property?
Which property are you talking about?
Any of your properties.
If you're talking about Highway 1, people drive by Highway 1 no matter what. I don't think that would have an effect on my property in any respect.
Okay. It's not whether it has an effect on it, it's whether it affects, or whether it has a changes, you know, anything. If you're within 500 feet of a change, but I think is what the rule is. But
I think that's something where you'd want to refer to our legal counsel.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know what property you have or if what your proposal was would affect that or not. You know, would affect.
You know, that's not, that's. that's not up to me to decide anything in regards to how property is moved or where it's at. You know, just the voice of the community and what the community wants for the community is what's needed here.
Just for clarification, the basic rule is that if the proposed project, whatever the project is within 500 feet of a property that you own, it is presumed to have a direct material effect on the value of your property, and you are then obligated to recuse yourself unless you can clearly demonstrate otherwise. So I'm not sure what property you own or precisely where this project would be. So I can't comment on the substance of it, but that's the basic rule.
At this time, there is no proposed project in any means whatever form to represent what Vern Dahl has stated.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either the answer to the question. That's why I was asking it.
So you're saying you don't know?
No, I don't know if it does or not. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're making recommendations that's going to affect your property, that, you know, it's going to affect a change in what the county is doing that will affect your property, then there's a possibility that it's has a conflict with your interests. And so that was why I was curious about that. You know, the suggestion that you're having that the traffic go over there by the airport, and I know you have property over by the airport somewhere, but I didn't know if it was
not within 500 feet of my property.
Okay.
Vern.
I guess the reason that I thought I might have been a good choice, but I certainly understand that the chairman or president can appoint who he wants, but I don't ride on the beach, and I'm not an environmentalist. So, I'm not on one side or the other, and that's why I thought I would be a good fit for that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your willingness to serve. I have appointed Director Bookout, so I would ask for I'll make the motion then that the board approves the appointment of Director Bookout.
I would second that.
Voice vote approval. Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes unanimously. We are now to report of district representatives. I know that it's within 10 minutes.
I don't believe
of 10
he took,
o'clock.
I don't believe he asked for public comment on the matter.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to go past 10 o'clock.
I will open public comment at that time, and we will take public comment on that if there is any.
Just real briefly, I did attend that meeting. It was a very good meeting. Take advantage of the opportunity for a financial benefit for our district.
Thank you, Mark. I think we're
are we
talking
okay,
about
well,
the,
okay.
the appointment.
Just to do your best with it.
Thank you. It would seem that there's no relevant commentary, so the action would stand.
Okay, right now we have the schedule for 8A, and so might be the time to make the decision whether we're going to move this to next week for sure, or whether we're going to do the closed session now.
I would propose that the closed session be moved to the meeting 1 week from now, added to that agenda, that we consider going beyond 10 p.m., if that's the pleasure of the board, to address the rest of the items on the agenda.
No.
Okay, we have...
Maybe split those two motions up.
Okay. First one would be to move the closed session to next Wednesday.
I believe that's just in your discretion.
Well, then I stand corrected. That is correct. That is in your discretion.
We'll do that. We will move that closed session to the or we'll move that closed session to the next meeting. In terms of moving beyond 10 o'clock, it's been a long night. We may wish to hear the rest of the reports and so forth. What's the pleasure of the board to do that?
We can We can put those off, do them at the end of the next meeting.
I concur.
Is that as to everything?
We're talking about the next meeting being the 21st.
The next meeting being the 21st.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. The special meeting.
You may still want to act on the warrants tonight, though?
Yes, I think we do. Yeah.
Yes. No.
I don't care if we do that or not.
No.
Reports?
I'd like to take the written communications as well. We can still do that within 6-7 minutes.
Okay, so we're moving the reports of district representatives to the special meeting. We'll move board member items for discussion, if that's acceptable to the special meeting. Mm-hmm. And we will take up consideration of the warrants right now. Anybody have questions or comments on the warrants?
Lookout had attended the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting, so he will be issued a second check for that amount and show on the next register.
Okay, thank you. Other comment on the warrants? Public comment on the warrants? Hearing none?
Oh, wait. I do have a question, and it's of Mitch on the mileage to Sacramento. That was the LAIF conference?
No, that's the on the legislative committee.
Oh, it says LAIF conference or something.
What page number are you on?
I'm on page, well.
It's on the
lower. Oh, page three. Mm-hmm. Is that more being there?
What page number?
Three.
Page three. So it should say committee rather than conference?
That was, wasn't it? January 2015?
Yeah, that was the legislative committee. CSDA legislative committee.
Oh, CSDA legislative committee.
Yeah, January 25th. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to know. So,
other comment or questions?
Is there an LAIF conference? Was it?
I didn't go to it. LAIF, did I go? No, I did. I didn't go to that. I did go to that? When was that?
I'll tell you when you went.
Okay. That's the investment fund. Oh, yeah, I did go to that. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was. Oh, that's okay. What we learned about, okay, yeah, okay, I remember that conference. Basically, what the discussion on that was, we got two seconds here, is the future of the state, and it's not looking real good. So there's going to be impacts on local budgets coming down the line because the state is running out of money. They have been functioning in, for the last 3 years, off of reserves to balance their budgets. And it's, all of you know, as soon as the state starts to hurt, counties start to hurt, counties make cities hurt, and special districts are, and it just kind of goes along. But that's basically what we went through on that. That's, yeah, I did go to that conference.
I move that we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we pay the warrants. Is there any public comment on the warrants? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. We are very tight. Don't see that we have 3 minutes for public comment, so we will, in accordance with our rules of order, we'll strike that item. Item 15, written communications.
We have, as of last evening, we have got one step closer to the City of Arroyo Grande going to present us with a proposal concerning this purchase of temporary water.
Thank you. I'd be interested in that. Did you notice the thing in the newspaper that said we were going to buy water from Arroyo Grande?
They wish.
That 204 acre feet that was discussed here, based on the gentleman's agreement, that will go to Aurora Grande. I mean, the way the gentleman's agreement is written, the group with the first dibs is Aurora Grande. So.
Okay, with that. Here in the boardroom. Thank you.
Very good.